Now in our studios is Superintendent of Schools, Dr. Matt Hillman. Matt, good morning.
Good morning, Jeff.
Thank you so much for coming in today.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
You had a school board meeting last night, but before we get into that, I want to ask you about the pandemic, get a COVID-19 update from you and how it's affecting the schools. What's the latest?
Yeah, Jeff, so we'll just start with the data, and currently over the last weeks, I haven't updated the dashboard yet today. There's a few cases that will come off, and there might be some that go on. Right now, over the past 14 days, we've had 37 new cases reported to us in that time period, and we've had 112 total cumulative cases since the beginning of the year. Now, remember, we have roughly 4,400 people on campus every day between our students and our staff, so it's important to put that data into context. Also, just want to share one of the big rates that we calculate even prior to COVID is something called the influenza-like illness rate. And our influenza-like illness rate, we affectionately call it the ILI rate, has been pretty good across the system. So the last reporting period, we calculate this each week, the 1st through the 5th of November. We saw a low range at Bridgewater Elementary at 0.89% of students home with influenza-like illnesses, illness symptoms over the course of that week. And, of course, that would include any kind of COVID symptoms as well. Greenvale Park Elementary at 0.94%. Spring Creek had a little bit of an increase last week there at 2.21. We had the middle school and the high school just at around middle school, a little bit above 1.5%. The high school at about 1.35%. So just for context, where the state actually wants you to shut your building down is when you would hit 5% ILI rate over the course of a week. So in terms of, we have COVID in our community, we know that. Unfortunately, we had seen Rice County's numbers, we had seen dip 3 weeks in a row. We were all like, all right, this is great. And then unfortunately, last week, that number did rebound. It went up by about 50 cases over the course of that week from around 115 to 165, something in that range. So hopefully that was an anomaly, and we'll continue to see some decrease in those cases, but that's where we're at right now. Our COVID testing center at the district office that I've shared with you has been going very well. We have full appointments nearly every day. We're looking at we're going to wait a full 2 weeks of operation. So after this week, we'll take a look and see, because we have now run this, are there any efficiencies that we could have to potentially have some more capacity? We're able to schedule around 15 appointments a day. And for doesn't sound like a lot, but for those 15 people, they may have had to drive to Lakeville or to be able to get a rapid molecular or PCR test, or might have had to go on to Faribault or someplace else if they couldn't get something in the community. So, again, this kind of thing should not be the school district's job, but it's been a barrier for our families, so we are trying to remove it. And finally, we've talked a number of times, Jeff, recently the CDC and the FDA did recommend vaccinations for students ages 5 through 11. And of course, vaccination is a family and personal decision. For folks in the community who have a question as to whether that's the right thing for their family, the best person to talk to is your pediatrician. Department of Health, of course, has a tremendous amount of resources, Mayo Clinic, a lot of resources on their websites. But what I just encourage people to do is if you've got questions, there are some people who just can't wait, right? There are other people who understandably might be just a little concerned. And so please talk to your pediatrician to find out whether or not that's something that's right for your family. And we will be hosting a vaccination clinic for children that will include children ages 5 through 11. It's going to be at the Northfield Community Education Center. That's the former Greenvale Park Elementary. It's going to be on November 18th. We shared information with families, and there were originally 180 appointments. Those appointments were gone in a record amount of time, according to Rice County Public Health. There was so much demand that they have expanded the clinic. It's going to go It was planning 3:30 to 6. It's going to go 3:30 to 6:30. I think they have around 240 appointments. And the last thing I heard last night was that there were less than a dozen appointments remaining. There are some similar clinics for families interested in Faribault. And so you can go to the Rice County Public Health website and you can register. Rice County Public Health is administering the clinic. We're just hosting at the Northfield Community Education Center. And I just want to point out that we are intentionally holding that at the NCEC. It's not at any of our elementary buildings. And it's being held after the school day. So this is a piece just to make sure that people have confidence that the vaccination pieces are taking place, family choice, outside of the school day, at a building that is not one of our elementary schools. And so it's available within the community. We certainly can help folks if they need ways to get there, things like that. We can try to help work through some of those things. But the appointments have been taken.
All right, good. Superintendent Hillman is with us from Northfield School District. Now let's move into last night's school board meeting. I know you've been working on the strategic plan for a while now. What's the latest on that?
So we presented our initial draft of the strategic plan last night to the board, and we've really been looking at preparing this for the last 6 months or so. We've had at least 15 meetings with some staff members, with students, with families, and with advisory groups. I've shared with the board last night. This fall with our community events, we just didn't have the same kind of participation that we have had over the years when we've done these things before. We did a session outside so people wouldn't have to mask. We did a session inside. We did a Zoom session. We have not had the total amount of participation that we've had in the past, but we also have a number of other pieces of data that we're using. So the pulse surveys that we used last year, other data that we collect, we're using all of those in terms of drafting the strategic plan. And so it's basically our vision would stay the same, which we know by heart. We will prepare every student for lifelong success within a world-class learning environment with a commitment to community partnerships and sustainability. Then we have five strategic commitments right now. People, we're a people business, right? So people's got to be a strategic commitment. Learner outcomes, we want every learner to succeed both academically and social emotionally. Stewardship, we have to be judicious with our funding, with our human capital and the time that we have. We really value the partnerships that we can have in our community to help accelerate the achievement of our goals. And equity, and when we talk about equity, we're specifically talking about making sure that our decisions focus on that every child, and we mean every child, has a fair opportunity to reach their full potential. There's been a lot of talk about that word equity across the country, and I think it's important to come back to that point that really it's about making sure that every child has a fair chance to pursue the American dream. And so we frame it as that every child has a fair opportunity to reach their full potential. So, Jeff, I'm not going to go through them. I presented 13 initial benchmarks. Mm-hmm. What I do want to share about it is that you're very familiar with the local collective impact organization Northfield Promise.
Mm-hmm.
Northfield Promise is a collaboration of 20 different groups within the community, the colleges, the hospital, the school district, the police department, the city, the county, the business community. There's the Interfaith Association. It is truly a community-wide collaboration. Northfield Promise adopted 10 benchmarks that evidence, research suggests that if we help students achieve, that they will have that chance to reach their full potential. And so we have been part of that over the years. And so I'm proposing that we adopt the Northfield Promise 10 benchmarks as our own benchmarks and really make sure that we're completely in synergy with what the community is doing to make sure that kids can be successful. We do have to add a few more around employee and parent satisfaction, some financial health. There might be something around community education. But just so folks know right now, we've got, again, our vision, which will remain the same. We're proposing five strategic commitments. And then right now it's 13 benchmarks, 10 of which would be in synchronicity with Northfield Promise.
Wow, those seems like some very worthy goals that you have.
Yeah, they're aspirational. And I think the key thing is that what we wanted this time around, as opposed to having priorities, were benchmarks. What are those aspirational pieces or aspirational achievements that we really would like to see in our community? And when we talk about these, we talk about all children. So when we talk about each of the goals, we use the word all to start most of those benchmark statements. And that is aspirational. And then how we report our progress on that is done in a variety of ways. It's through the state of the district presentation. It's through our school improvement plans. It's through our world's best workforce report, which we also talked about last night. And so we will report it in a variety of different ways transparently. So the board from here, Jeff, we're going to have a work session solely on this topic on November 18th. Then on November 22nd, the board is going to have a chance to talk about it again. And then I'm going to ask them to adopt a final version on December 13th at the board meeting there, because then we will begin to use this as we plan for 22-23.
Now, the strategic plan, is this one component of the strategic plan? Are there other areas as well?
This is the strategic plan.
Okay, this
and
is
so
that.
This,
okay.
This covers our most important thing, right, which is our student outcomes and our student achievements. When we say that, we mean about it academically. We mean about it socially and emotionally. We think it's We look at kids as holistic human beings, not just a number on a piece of paper, but their outcomes academically, their outcomes socially and emotionally, making sure that they are prepared for lifelong success, as our vision statement says. So again, this is the draft. The board may choose to add benchmarks. They may choose to do some other things. They may add or subtract a strategic commitment. They'll be working through that as the community's representatives over the next month here.
Superintendent Hillman is with us. You had mentioned the world's best workforce. Can you just remind our listeners what that is, what that program is, and where you're at within that?
So the world's best workforce is state legislation that requires every school district in the state to report on some key areas. Now, coincidentally, the Northfield Promise and the proposed benchmarks for our strategic plan, all the world's best workforce is very similar to the academic benchmarks that are in the Northfield Promise commitments and what could end up being in our strategic plan. So those are things about all children being ready for school, children reading at grade level by the end of third grade, all children being career and college ready, eliminating all of the achievement gaps, and then all students graduating from high school. Those are the five areas that the state requires that we report on. So we held a public hearing last night just prior to the board meeting and then gave a summary at the board meeting. And our Director of Instructional Services, Hope Langston, provided the report. As people might imagine, it was a tough year in terms of achievement of the world's best workforce goals that we have. We did not meet for the first time ever. We did not meet any of our – for the first time in some time, we did not meet any of our goals. I can't say forever. I don't know that for sure. But we know that it was a statewide issue. And so while we did not achieve the goals that we set for last year – we had been on a really good pace prior to the pandemic. We know that the pandemic changed a lot of things of how we serve folks and the our ability to serve students consistently. But what we know is that those were statewide issues. So I just offer this as an example. Let's take a look at the proficiency rates for the Minnesota Comprehensive Assessment or the MCA tests. So while our proficiency in many areas went down compared to 2019, because remember there were no MCAs in 2020, so we're comparing 2021 to 2019, while proficiency rates across our district went down in most areas, not all, in fifth grade, our fifth graders increased in each of the three assessments that they take, reading, math, and science. They improved over the previous cohort's proficiency rates. High school increased its proficiency rate in both reading and science. But we did not increase our proficiency rates in any of the other areas. However, when you compare us to the rest of the state, I'm going to give you an example. So in let's take a look at sixth grade reading. We were at about 71.6% proficiency. Not where we want to be, right? But that percentage proficiency was better than 92% of Minnesota middle schools in sixth grade. Ooh. And that is repeated throughout all of the different assessments, most of the different assessments. And so the key thing is while we didn't achieve our goals in World's Best Workforce, when we look, we know it was a statewide issue, and Northfield continued to outperform our peers, the vast majority of our peers across the state. I simply give that for context. Now, when we don't meet our goals, we don't whine, we don't complain. Of course we're disappointed, right? People work hard. People worked harder than they ever have worked last year to try to meet student needs. We know it was a global health emergency, and so we understand that we didn't meet our goals. But when we don't meet our goals, we don't whine, we don't complain, we are disappointed, of course, but then we say, what's next? And we are motivated to improve for the next time. So we've readjusted our goals going forward with those World Best Workforce goals for next year, similar pieces that we're looking at again, and we're going to move forward. And again, if we adopt the strategic plan, these would be similar goals to our strategic plan benchmarks.
Now, do you feel, pardon me, the students in general, those numbers went down. Are they, when they, but most of them were promoted to the next grade anyway, because they have passing grades and such. Are they behind where, you know, the normal children of their age would have been in the past? You know, are fifth graders up to fifth grade speed? Are eighth graders up to eighth grade speed? Is there a lot of catch up to do?
So there are some gaps, right? We've seen some gaps, you know, specifically in some of the early reading skills, right? So if you think about a third grader who's a third grader this year, you know, the last time that they had a full year of school that was what most of us would consider to be a regular year would have been in kindergarten. So where we're seeing some specific gaps are on some of that real early reading pieces, which we are working very hard to catch up. We're using a lot of, I shouldn't say catch up, to address those specific issues. What we've seen is there are students who continue their trajectory. They are doing as well, if not better, right, than they did before. We're also seeing more and more students who are struggling. So that middle has shrunk. So we're specifically and targeting those students who have those gaps in their learning with reading through a variety of different pieces, including our partnerships with the AmeriCorps Reading Course Program, including using some strategies with flexible grouping at a couple of our elementary schools in third grade. So, for example, typically in third grade at Spring Creek Elementary, you have five classes of third grade. When we teach reading for part of their literacy block, they are breaking those students into eight groups so they can provide more targeted instruction at different levels. That's just one example. Mm-hmm. We've also seen some mathematics gaps, and we are working to provide some additional resources for families to have at home that when we've – something called a SET. And we've used these – we had actually had a little bit of a grant – internal grant program funded by Northfield Promise to try things to eliminate the gaps, the achievement mm-hmm. gaps. And this is one of the strategies that we had 100% of the students in this prototype class who ended up being able to get to proficiency. So we are measuring what matters. We are trying to find what works, and we're cross-pollinating that. So those are just some of the things that we are working on to eliminate those different pieces of gaps. I do want to share, though, Jeff, as I see you looking at the clock, the final piece is that we have to be careful about looking solely at the things that we perceive to be lost. There were skills that students learned over the last 18 months that will be very important for them as they head into the future. So we can really look at this as a perceived loss, all of the things that we perceive to have lost during this time. But there are also things that students have gained in terms of remote work and remote collaboration and other kinds of things that are going to carry them very well into the future. It's unfortunate and it's terrible that it took a global health emergency for some of those skills to be developed. But I think we need to also look at what are those new skills that students developed that they may not have otherwise. And so that's just a part of what I think we need to do is take a look at, of course, acknowledge what we have, where we need to work on, but also look at what we have gained that maybe we wouldn't have.
Mm-hmm. Superintendent Hillman, we're out of time, but thank you so much for joining us. We certainly appreciate it. We'll see you again in 2 weeks.
It's my pleasure, Jeff. Thanks.
Superintendent of Schools, Dr. Matt Hillman. You're listening to 95.1 FM.